Montreal.
For CJLO News, I'm Valérie Chapuis. Last week, the Archdiocese of Montreal signed a 50-year lease with the Pointe-Claire Heritage Preservation Society, a nonprofit organization, to restore and protect the historic Pointe-Claire windmill. The city of Pointe-Claire has also pledged support. The windmill, built by the priests of Saint-Sulpice back in the early 1700s, is one of the oldest in North America. It has been the civic symbol of Pointe-Claire since 1911. It was also designated as a heritage site by Quebec's Ministry of Culture and Communications in 1983. Though it's been repaired before, it's now in need of restoration due to damage, including a roof leak and broken sails. The restoration aims to preserve this historical landmark and turn the site into a cultural hub that offers tours and educational programs. The project is being funded by private donations, with plans to raise additional funds through further campaigns. This week, the mayors of Montreal, Quebec City, and Laval are heading to Washington, D.C. to join other city leaders for a Great Lakes and St. Lawrence Cities Alliance event. During the event, around 30 mayors will discuss how to build ties between Canadian and American cities. This year, the event will be held in the wake of the new tariff dispute between the two countries, with the U.S. imposing a 25% tariff on Canadian goods. Montreal Mayor Valérie Plante told the Canadian press that the mission to Washington is an opportunity to warn American elected officials that the tariff war will hurt both countries' economies. This trip follows several efforts by Canadian leaders to show the U.S. the broader economic consequences of these tariffs. Monday, March 3rd marked the 150th anniversary of the first official indoor hockey game played in Montreal in 1875. The game took place at the Victoria Rink, where the Centre Sheraton Hotel now stands. This event is considered the beginning of modern ice hockey. To celebrate, Mathieu Lacombe, Quebec's Minister of Culture and Communications, announced that the 1875 game will now be recognized as a historic event under the Cultural Heritage Act. A commemorative plaque was also unveiled. Christian Labbé, head of Hockey Quebec, voiced his pride in the sport's history and its importance to Quebec's identity and culture. The anniversary follows Quebec's recent decision to officially recognize hockey as the province's national sport. For more, go to cjlo.com/news or follow CJLO News on Spotify.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get this show on the road. I'm your host today for this next hour, Connor Rooney, and this is Candid Combat. That's the name I'm workshopping here. Not official, but Candid Combat. Combat, play on words there with my first name, Connor. Combat makes sense, looks better on paper. But here's what we got prepared for the next hour. We're going to talk about combat. Who would have guessed? So, a couple things I'm going to go over today. First and foremost, we're going to break down the Wrestling U-Sport Championships that just happened at Brock University. I talked about it a little bit 2 weeks ago, made my predictions. We're going to get into it, analyze the results, see what happened there. Then we're going to get into UFC 313 happening this Saturday, headlined by Alex Pereira taking on Ankalaev. A lot going on there. Now we're going to look at some UFC matchups currently in the works. Know a lot of people want to hear about John Jones, Tom Aspinall, things like that. Go over that a little bit. Then I want to get into this because I was talking about this with someone earlier today, and that is, should they allow fighting in the PWHL like they do in the NHL? A lot of interesting stuff there. So we're going to have a look at that. And then if we have time, I want to get into a bit of KSI versus Dylan Danis happening later this month in the YouTuber boxing world. So we'll see what's going on there. But let's get started first with the U Sport Nationals at Brock University that happened this past weekend. I was there. I was competing in that tournament. So I've got the inside scoop on what went down with regards to the Stingers there. I tell you, Alberta won the tournament. They had some absolutely fierce competitors, very fierce. So they upset Brock University on home soil, which was pretty incredible. This is on the men's side. The Brock women's team did win, but on the men's side, Alberta did come out with the victory, where Brock University was the favorite. So that was interesting. But enough about other universities. What are we talking about here? Let's talk about Concordia. Concordia ended up sending four athletes to the tournament. They sent Alexia Sherland, Sophia Bouchard, Liam Menard, and myself, Connor Rooney. So we got four athletes, because we're about quality, not quantity, around these parts. Sending some quality athletes to the tournament. The big story, obviously, Alexia Sherland taking home the silver medal at the U Sport Nationals. So that was pretty impressive. We'll get into that. So Alexia Sherland was absolutely on fire at this tournament. She was throwing everybody around like a sack of potatoes. That's how I would describe it. Just tossing girls over their heads. It was really something to see. You want to talk about live entertainment? It doesn't get any better than seeing people's feet go above their heads. You know? And that's her specialty. She is a phenomenal thrower. Like I always say, in wrestling, you got your two kinds. You've got your throwers and you've got your leg attackers, right? That's what we work with here. And Alexia is a phenomenal thrower. Absolutely phenomenal. Her signature move is the hip sag, and nobody could seem to figure this out on her. She hip sagged just about everyone. You know, no one could seem to figure out. Don't tie up with this girl. My goodness, she's throwing everybody. People are still willing to tie up with her, and that's a losing battle. Every time. That's a losing battle. So she basically hip sagged her way into the final, where she was unfortunately vanquished by a competitor from Brock University, but, I mean, still, stellar tournament to go all the way to the gold medal match. She's second team All-Canadian now, which is fantastic. Watching her was really something. And you got to see her on tournament day. She turns into a different person. You know what I mean? She's usually, you know, a very friendly, you know, outgoing girl, but you get her on match day, it's like a new persona takes over. She looks mean on that mat. Let me tell you, she looks vicious. So that's always something I love to see, the change in people as they go from their regular everyday, how you doing, to then they get on the mat, and my goodness, an animal on the mat, an absolute animal. So she got the silver medal. She only Concordia athlete to get one at the Wrestling Nationals this year. So it was a pretty big deal that she was able to do that. I was pretty impressed. And she's not done yet. She's still eligible for another year. So she's got another crack at it next year and in the following years. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. So congratulations to Concordia's very own Alexia Sherland for bringing home the silver medal and really displaying that hip sag that just didn't seem like it just didn't seem like it could fail. It just worked. And she told me after the match, don't do what I do. Don't do what I do. That's her tagline, you know? Put it on a t-shirt. And I can't do what she does. You should see my hip sag. It's pretty rough. I'm not much of a thrower myself. So I will not be doing what she is doing. So congratulations to her. Another athlete, Sophia Bouchard, competed at the tournament. She went all the way to the bronze medal match. She finished in fourth place. You know, I know she probably wanted a better result, but you know what? She fought really hard, you know. It was really something to see as a rookie on the team, to see the composure on the mat and things like that. These are skills that come with experience. So well done to her as well for making it all the way to the bronze medal match at the U-Sport Nationals. And that's that for the women's side. On the men's side, Liam Menard competed at 68 kilos. He finished in seventh place. You know, bit of a rough tournament, but you know what? He really gave it. He gave it his all. He was going at it. He was fighting guys. In my personal opinion, I think he could have gone all the way to the gold medal match. It just came down to a few unfortunate results. But yeah, that was Liam Menard. And I also competed at the U-Sport Nationals for the first time in my rookie season. Finished in fifth place. So I'll take that. You know, I got a lot to work on coming up into next year. Hopefully try to get into a medal round is definitely my goal. I feel like I could have done it this year if I just wasn't quite there. I haven't quite hit the echelon necessary to end up in a medal round at U-Sport Nationals. I was just shy. But overall, you know, great experience for me. Learned a lot from the veterans on the team, especially with regards to their composure on the mat and staying calm. Because that's a big thing. And this is, everyone likes to talk about the physicality of fighting, you know, and how hard that is. But what's way harder is going to bed at night knowing you're going to wake up and people are going to fight you. Like, they're going to come and attack you. And you're doing this willingly because you love it, which is interesting. That's interesting that I do that, but I love it. And just being able to stay calm, going without any nerves, and just fight your best. And that's probably the hardest skill to learn in a tournament is keeping your composure before your matches. So I had five fights over the weekend. I went 3-2. Won my first match against Alberta. That was a weird match. I'll tell you about it. So in wrestling, I don't know if a lot of you know this, but if you're up by 10 points, the match ends. Technical superiority. So I was going up this guy from Alberta, and I had a good start to the match. I got into the legs. I was scoring. Did my signature move on the ground, the tilt. Any wrestlers listening to this will know that is my move, the tilt. You gotta love it. And I tilted him for 10, took a 10-point lead. And this is where things started to go a bit sideways. The other corner challenged it, said I didn't get enough points. Call was reversed, and this is after my hand's been raised. I'm thinking I'm done here, and it's the end of the match. Nope, get back out there. You're not done. Got reversed. I had to go back in there, and I'm going to be honest, this is where I kind of fell apart because I think I'm done. I think I'm in the clear. It's my first match out of the way. It went well. But now I got to go back to a match I thought I won already. But the decision got overturned. So that's where things went not great. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I could not tell you this part of the story. But I will, because I believe honesty is important. So this is where I start to make silly mistakes. I'm just trying to finish the match at this point. Me and this guy are going at it. He liked to grab the fingers, all these kind of things. And I really wasn't happy. He was heavy on the neck. My God. So when we're tying up in the match, he's coming hard on my head. I don't like guys when they do that. So it's getting a little slappy in there. I'm giving a little couple slaps to the face. Get off my neck, please. It's a little disrespectful, I would say. We're wrestling here. We're not boxing. So I'm starting it. So my answer, I guess, to him boxing is I'm boxing right back. This is coming into a boxing match here. So we're getting a little slappy here and there. And I got caught. I won't lie. I tried to duck under, but that went horribly. And I ended up on my back. Which, if you don't know, in wrestling, if you get held on your back, you lose the fight. It's called a pin. So I'm on my back. I'm pretty pissed because I thought I'd already won, and now I'm in a position where I'm probably about to lose. He had me pretty good on the ground, and if you've ever been held on your back before, it is a painful experience trying to get off. It's not fun. So I'm stuck here, and the ref's looking at my shoulder blade, trying to see if both shoulders are going to touch the ground. And all I hear, and this is the only reason I didn't lose, is my fellow teammate, Sophia Bouchard, is on the sideline going nuts, telling me to get off my back. I won't lie, I was probably, without Sophia yelling at me, I was probably going to get pinned just right then and there. That was the end. You know, I'm tired. I'm in pain. I can't figure a way to get out. But all I hear on the sidelines, get off your back! Get off your back! I'm just getting yelled at here. It just woke something up in me, you know, having someone yell at me like this in such an aggressive manner. I was like, oh my God, I better get off my back here, or things are going to go a little sideways after this when I see her after the fight. So I'm fighting. I eventually got off my back. Thank God. And then I ended up being able to run out the clock for the rest of the match and came out with the victory. But that, I'm telling you right now, let it be known, Sophia Bouchard saved me in that match. That's sometimes all you need, is just someone yelling at you, giving you that extra motivation to not give in. Because there was a moment there where it looked pretty bad. If you go, you can go on Wrestling Canada website and you can find the match. It's on mat 4. It's in the morning. I think it's in the first 15 matches if you want to go through it. And you'll see me on my back, and you can hear her. And the camera filming it is like way up, and you can hear from way up there her yelling at me to get off my back. She was really motivating me to get off. So I really appreciated that. So I'm here on the air telling everyone. A lot of my success that day was definitely due to Sophia motivating me to get off my back, man. What are we doing on our back? Let's not do that. Let's not. So big thank you to Sophia Bouchard. We're going to get more into the tournament when we come back. We're going to do a short ad break here just to break it up a little bit. So we'll be back in just a few minutes, but here's a short ad break.
Production Nuit d'Afrique invites you to discover new talent with its World Music Showcase, the 18th edition of Cité d'Or dans la musique du monde. Come discover 36 acts every Tuesday and Wednesday at Club Balatou until April 9th. Take part in the free showcase concerts and vote for your favorite artists. More info on Cité d'Or.com, Facebook, and Instagram.
Do you want to have a discussion about movies?
You have part of my attention. You have the minimum amount.
And half the iconic sounds of cinema? Well, tune in to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds every Tuesday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. only on CJLO 1690 a.m. with your host, Remy.
This is Nick from Mauno, and you're listening to CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
Welcome back after that short little ad break. Before the break, we were talking about my first match at a 5, where Sophia Bouchard basically saved me, bailed me out of a bad situation. After that, second match of the day was against the guy that would go on to win the gold medal, Absolute Beast from Calgary. That didn't go very well. I played a bit of defense at the start, which was working, but offensively I just couldn't get it going, and he was the better guy. What can I say? He's the better guy. So he came out with the win. He went on to win gold rather effortlessly. He's an absolute stud. He's very well trained. Jacked. This guy is strong. So that was probably, and he's fast. So I look, defensively, I did okay, holding him back for a little bit, And then when I got time to get it going, I just couldn't get the engine revving. And he handled me. So that happened. Let's not talk about that fight too much. I'm gonna have nightmares about that fight for a little while. I gotta train harder so I can beat him, because as it stands, that's just not gonna happen right now. I need to hit the next level. Going into my third match, guy from McMaster, you would go on to be the bronze medalist. He beat me. I scored on him though. I did do that. So bit of an improvement from my fight against the gold medalist. I actually scored on the bronze medalist. And I had a bit of momentum for a minute there. You know? You can feel these things in fights. So the first little bit, I'm just playing defense, just trying to tire him out. He gets a few points on me, but then a little momentum switch. I score on him, and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm like, okay, let's go at this guy. I believe the score was 6-2 at one point. So I'm not completely out of it. But just didn't quite have that extra 5% to push and put the pressure on him a bit more and come out with a win. So another loss. I hate to report another loss. But that's just how it goes. And that's the difference between a fifth place finish and a potential bronze medal match opportunity. It's little things like that. Just little things. I look forward to a rematch there. I'm going to be hitting the gym a little extra hard with that individual in mind. And we'll see what I can produce there in the future. I do think I can. That's a potential get back scenario on the horizon that I'm going to be looking at. Third match of the day against a guy from Algoma. This would be my last match of the day. There's another match the next day, but last match of that day. So there's another thing before I get into that people don't know about wrestling. It's not like, you know, these other combat sports where you get you train really hard for one fight. I'm fighting four times on a Friday. I'm fighting four times in a day, four different guys. That's wrestling. You know, you're not training for one particular dude. You're training for everybody. You're going to have four or five. I knew a guy had like seven matches in one day. That's absurd. But it happens. And that's why cardio and wrestling is so important. Technique is king, but cardio is right up there. Not quite as important, but you need phenomenal cardio. Because you got to be able to fight that many times, get banged up, get back on the mat. So anyway, fourth match of the day against Algoma. That one went really well for me. I got a nice 10-0 victory there to finish off the day. Finished the day 2-2. You know, not bad. Got to work some of my nice leg attacks. Won that one pretty comfortably. So I was happy with that. And that's all there has to be said. Then what? You go back to the hotel, take a shower? I was in bed by 9 p.m. That's insane for me. I haven't seen unconsciousness at 9 p.m. since I was like 5. You know? That's what these tournaments will do to you, man. They'll tucker you out. So anyways, up again the next day for my last fight, the 5-6 match against Lethbridge. That went pretty well. Got the guy in a cradle. Bada bing, bada boom. End of the tournament. So, you know, not for a rookie season, I'm not upset. I do think I would have liked to have gone to the bronze medal match, but it just wasn't in the cards. It wasn't in the cards this year. Next year, I will be gunning for the medal rounds. No exceptions. So that's what we're working towards. With the tournament. It was a great tournament. It's good team bonding experience with the lads. And yeah, that's that for the U-Sport recap that went down this past weekend. You can watch the whole tournament on Wrestling Canada on the website. They have it all recorded, so you can go in and watch. So if you want to see what wrestling at the university level looks like, that's definitely a good place to. That's a perfect opportunity. They have all the mats all set up that you can look at through just the round robins. I would definitely check out the gold medal match. The gold medal matches, if you're a fan of wrestling and you're thinking about even getting into it, go watch the gold medal matches at the U Sport Nationals or on Wrestling Canada website. Really, and on YouTube if you want to look that up. Really some great stuff there. Especially, I would look, if you want to see something, the guy that won Outstanding Wrestler, I forget his name, I think he's from Alberta, 100 kilo gold medal match was really something to watch. I've never seen someone so big and heavy move like a light. He was moving like he weighed 140 pounds. Shooting a low single leg at 100 kilos is just insane. And that's what he was doing. And that's why the other guy is like, what in the world? Big guys aren't ready for that. They're not expecting that, but that's what's going down. So that's one I definitely recommend watching if you want to have a look. 100 kilo gold medal match. That was a beauty. That was a beauty. So yeah, have a look at that if you're interested in that kind of thing. But let's move on from the U Sport, and we're going to transition into this week what everybody's talking about in the combat world, UFC. 313. Now, this is an interesting one because we've got in the title match Alex Pereira versus Magomed Ankalaev. And in the co-main, we got Justin Gaethje versus Rafael Fitzayev. So let's first get into that one, the co-main, Justin Gaethje versus Rafael Fitzayev. It's a heartbreaker because it was supposed to be Justin Gaethje versus Dan Hooker. And that would have fed families. Oh, my God. Someone was going to die on live television. Both of them agreed to it. They basically signed their lives away. Those two guys stand in the middle and they just throw kicks, elbows, punches with villainous intent. Just villainous. That would have been a fight of the year candidate. Absolutely. And it could have gone either way. Like, if that's what I was talking about today, I'd say I actually have no idea who's going to win that. And everybody that thinks they do, they're lying. Who knows? When you got two guys that just agree, we're going to just throw things at each other. Painful things. Inflict damage. People are going to bleed. You know? That's the kind of fight. Like, these guys aren't point fighters. Justin Gaethje, Dan Hooker, not point fighters at all. Stand and bang. They play on stand and bang mode. They've never heard. And Justin Gaethje is a good wrestler. That's what I love about him. He's a pretty prominent wrestler, but he never wrestles in the UFC. He just kickboxes. A little bit of Muay Thai, you know? Crazy. He's allergic to takedowns, I would say. The one takedown he's shot for is the fun. Look that up. If you ever want to have a laugh, look up Justin Gaethje shooting a single leg. That's the most, it's hilarious. You'd never guess this guy had wrestled a day in his life. But he has. I'm pretty sure he was All-American. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure. And that's what's so funny about him. I mean, him and Dan Hooker, these guys, these are the kind of guys that they get to their corner, right? And they're smiling. They're just like, I'm so happy to be here. That's psychotic. There's a guy throwing elbows, kicks at your dome, and you're smiling. You just love it. That's the kind of attitude these guys have. Putting two psychopaths in a cage. Only one guy's walking out of there with oxygen in his lungs. Let's be honest. So I was heartbroken when Dan Hooker had to pull out of that fight. That would have been one for the ages. But now we got Rafael Fitzayev. Coming in. He's fought Gaethje before and lost, so it's a rematch. He's got a chance to get his get back. Gaethje's currently ranked third in the division, and Fitzayev's 11, which is kind of crazy. That's quite a gap. This is not a deserved rematch by any means. But then again, we've seen this a few times, and the result's been interesting. I like to recall Adesanya versus Sean Strickland. Absolutely not a deserved title match, but Strickland put on a masterclass against Israel Adesanya. Just an absolute masterclass. So we have seen these big gaps before go in favor of the underdog. Except, you want to hear something nuts? Fitzayev's the favorite. What is going on in Vegas? We got the number three guy ranked in the division. One of the top guys in the UFC right now, in my opinion. Just an absolute stud. And he's a plus 136. And we got Fitzaev at minus 162. Gaethje's beaten him. He's literally beaten him. And he's an underdog. I mean, can you imagine beating up a guy? And then when people are talking about if you guys ever fought again, they're like, oh, that other guy's probably got the edge here. Are you guys, is Vegas out of their minds? They have to be. I saw that. I flipped a chair. That is ridiculous. Do they know something that I don't? Does Gaethje have, like, the Black Plague? And he just hasn't told anybody? I don't know what's going on with that. Gaethje, in my opinion, clear favorite against Fitzaev. Clear. Fitzaev's lost his last two matches. He's losing. And he's a favorite. Yes, Gaethje got knocked out by Max Holloway. That's probably the argument. He took probably the greatest knockout of all time. He took a hard hit. He took a... That was an all-you-can-eat knuckle sandwich buffet. He went to sleep in that octagon that night. But that's, I mean, you're going to tell me he wasn't already brain damaged? You ever seen him talk? So you know what? I got Gaethje as a clear favorite again. I don't care if he just got knocked out by Max Holloway. Fitzaev's ranked 11. And he's lost. I don't get it. Maybe someone after the show is going to text me and say, oh, well, did you consider this? Did you consider that? Maybe. I doubt it. I just don't get it. That one makes no sense to me. I've got, if this, put it on your parlay, Justin Gaethje by knockout. Let me make you guys some money. Let me make you all rich for a second here. Justin Gaethje, and my predictions are correct. I predicted Team Canada beating Team USA. I predicted that. I predicted Connor McDavid scoring the overtime winner. I did that live in the studio. So you know what? I got a pretty good track record in the studio right now. So let's do it. On the parlay, Justin Gaethje knocks out Rafael Fitzaev. I'm going under 3.5 rounds. These are two guys that just like to throw. So... Justin Gaethje by knockout, Rafael Fitzaev. You know, he's entertaining, and he's going to make it fun. He's going to throw down with him, but he's not going to win. And a favorite? I mean, even if he wins, can he be an underdog? How is it not an underdog story? I'm losing my mind in here. We got to move on here. I'm going to crash out. Alex Pereira takes on Magomed Ankalaev. And this, in the odds, is as close as it gets. This is minus 112 for Pereira, minus 108 for Ankalaev. Which, again, how many people does Alex Pereira have to knock out before you just accept that he's going to win? And he's going to keep doing it. Like, what's going on in Vegas right now, guys? I don't get it. Like, Ankalaev, I get it. Oh, he can grapple. He can grapple. Never seen him check a leg kick? Pereira is going to knock his shins out of his foot. I wouldn't be surprised if he gets KO'd just on leg kicks. His shins are going to explode like popcorn on Saturday night. Pereira's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. And yes, he got the belt. He got the black belt after knocking a guy out. How does that make sense? I don't know. I'm not his trainer. But they don't just... He's not going to get a black belt handed to him like candy from Teixeira. So you could take it easy, you know. He's Brazilian. You know what I mean? He's from Brazil. He can grapple. That's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, BJJ? Yeah, guess where that's from. Guess where Pereira's from. I think he'll be fine on the ground. And look at the Jan Blachowicz fight, for God's sake. We forgetting about that? His first match up at light heavyweight? Same thing. Oh, Blachowicz. Oh, he's wrestling. He's gonna take out Pereira's kickboxing. And it didn't. He did it for all of one round. And that's years ago. Think of all the work Pereira's done since. This is a KO. This is a clear. I mean, Ankalaev lost to Paul Craig. Do you even know who that is? I bet most of you don't know who that is. But Ankalaev lost to Paul Craig. What are we doing here? What are we doing with this? Oh, it's, but maybe Dana just, he keeps booking fights what I think are pretty brainless victories for one guy. But I guess you want to promote the fight so you make Ankalaev look like maybe he'll be Pereira. Which he won't. That's just not in the cards. This is, I mean, how many times does he have to send people to the morgue before we start to figure out that the only guy that's going to beat him is John Jones? And that's a ridiculous fight. The old Pereira, John Jones. I don't want to see that. I already know how it goes. Because John Jones can take him down, yes. And John Jones would effectively murder. He's the only guy that I think would definitively just destroy Pereira. Definitively. But that's a heavyweight. Light heavyweight, there's nobody. That's why Pereira's going to go up to heavyweight after he knocks out Magomed Ankalaev's teeth out individually with each toe on his foot. That's what's going to happen. You just watch. Put it on your parlay. Put that on your parlay. We got two locks here, Len. This is not gambling. This is your locks. Justin Gaethje, Alex Pereira by knockout. That's the only way this could go down. That is the only way this could go down. There is no ifs, ands, or buts. These are two knockouts, two live executions. I don't know what convinced Ankalaev to sign this contract. I know we got a lot of... And I'm a wrestler. Like, that's what you guys got to understand. I'm picking the kickboxer, which I never do. Whenever it comes striker versus grappler, I'm always about the grappler. Because what happens when the striker goes to the ground? Even if it happens once. Yeah. I just don't think Ankalaev's got the stuff. I don't think he's got the stuff. Point. Finale. You know? You just can't check leg kicks, man. Like, what are we talking about? Let's move on to some potential UFC matchups that are in the works. We've got, first and foremost, and I don't know why people are discussing this one like it's, well, maybe it'll happen. Oh, it's in the works. No, this is going to happen. There's no way this isn't going to happen. And that's Chimaev versus DDP. So, DDP beat Strickland fair and square. I was so disappointed. I am a fan of Strickland's. I like watching him fight. I liked his attitude in the press conference. He's like, let's bleed out there. But I feel a little betrayed because you know what? He didn't. He lied. He lied to the whole. He looked the world in the face and said, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to fight DDP. And we're just going to throw down and we're going to bleed. We're going to bleed for you guys, he always says. And he didn't. My heart bled. That's about it. That was as much blood that was spilled that night was my heart bleeding. Because, oh, it was just not a great fight. You know, DDP did what it took to win. Good for him. I can't believe he's still the champion. He's just the goofiest fighter on the planet. His wrestling is, from my perspective, and probably anybody who wrestles will tell you, it is the weirdest and should never work style I've ever seen. But maybe that's what it is. It's the changeup. He throws the changeup and it works. Why? I don't know. But he's fighting Chimaev, and that backyard wrestling isn't going to mean squat. Chimaev is going to run him over like a truck. He's going to look like roadkill. And I was doubting Chimaev after the Usman fight, because if that the Usman fight against Chimaev, Chimaev did not look good in the first, and then he really tapered off. But after watching him in his last fight just demolish Robert Whittaker, you can't not pick Chimaev. He's in incredible shape. His wrestling is probably the best in the UFC at this point. And DDP's backyard diving at the ankles, doesn't even know he's grabbing onto toes. For all he knows, he doesn't know what he's grabbing for. His weird striking style nonsense, it's not going to work against Chimaev is a savage. So I know I've been saying public execution a lot today, but that one is going to be An absolute, like, we haven't seen an execution that brutal since Marie Antoinette. DDP is Marie Antoinette going into that fight against Chimaev. So that one's coming up. That'll be announced 100%. Chimaev's due for a title fight. And then we're in the Chimaev era, and I don't know if there's anybody for a while who's going to be able to contest him. Another fight being in talks, Ilya Topuria versus Islam Makhachev. Ilya's vacated his title. He wants to go up to lightweight to fight Islam Makhachev. And you know what? I think he's going to win. I think Ilya Topuria will be the one to defeat Islam Makhachev and dethrone him. Because he can do it all. You want to talk about a jack of all trades, we're looking at Ilya Topuria. And if I'm being frank here, and I'll probably get some hate for this, but Islam Makhachev is a fake champion. He has fought nobody of note since winning the title. Nobody that I've been like, wow, what an incredible opponent. And yes, it's the top class. It's top class, but he's not fighting top of the top. You know what I mean? Yes, he beat Charles Oliveira. That was incredibly impressive. I'm not talking about that. He won the title legitimately. But then he's fighting Volk, featherweight, or wherever he was. And it was close. Like, a lot of people think Volk won that fight. That one, I think Islam won it, in all fairness. But it was a very controversial decision. So, and then who's he fight? An old Dustin Poirier, who didn't deserve the title shot. He just got it because it was supposed to be Gaethje, but Gaethje got knocked out by Max Holloway. So they called in Poirier, who almost lost to Benoit St. Denis, who's fighting on Fight Night cards now, by the way. So he beat him. And then goes right to the title. And yeah, Islam beat him, but it shouldn't have never happened. It wasn't a top competitor. And then he fights Volk again off the couch. Right, underweight off the couch, he fights Volk and knocks him out. But I mean, he was off the couch. He got a week's notice. He didn't have a proper fight camp. And then who's he fight after that? Money Moicano. What a ridiculous title fight that was. Everybody knew the result of that. The Vegas odds on that, you'd have to bet $1 billion on Makhachev to make a cent on that fight. Only Elon Musk could have made money on that fight. Nobody else. Because it was just such a lamb to slaughter situation. But Money Moicano made his money. So you know what? Good for him. So then let's have a look at Ilya Topuria. He knocked out Max Holloway in his last fight. Do you know how many times Max Holloway has been knocked out in his entire career? Zero. I don't think he's been knocked down. And Topuria sent him to counting sheep. Max Holloway was counting sheep after that fight. And he counted quite a few before he came back to life. And who did he beat before that? Volkanovski. Volkanovski coming up a full fight camp and at his regular weight. And he knocked him out. So to me, Ilya Topuria's recent pedigree is looking a lot shinier. It's looking a lot shinier. And his mentality, he feels that this is just destiny. He talks to his opponents, there's no fear. It's preordained. The match, he knows in his head he's already won. Hard to beat a guy with such self-belief. It's just written in the stars. So I predict Ilya Topuria is going to beat Makhachev just based on recent performance and just how good Topuria is. And listen, not taking any... Makhachev is a world-class fighter. Great. Well, you know, the second coming of Khabib Nurmagomedov. But I just think he doesn't have the stuff to beat Topuria. Moving on. John Jones, Tom Aspinall. This is the one everyone wants to talk about. This is the legitimate, the matchups in the works. This is the one. I don't think it's going to happen, personally. And that disappoints a lot of people, but I really don't think John Jones is going to get into a cage with Tom Aspinall. It would have happened already. Like, what are we waiting for here? He's not getting any younger. The longer he waits, I mean, jeez. And I'm disappointed because when you look at the Dan Cormier fights that were so popular with John Jones, Cormier was old, you know? Cormier was not a young spring chicken. He was an old geezer in his late 30s when he fought Jones. And Jones was up on roids and cocaine, you know? So not only did he fight an old Cormier, he was on roids the whole time. And a lot of coke, according to his own testimony. And now he's not going to give Tom Aspinall the shot? He's about the same age Cormier was when he fought John. So what's the holdup? I'll tell you what the holdup is. I think he knows he'll lose because Tom Aspinall has been absolutely unstoppable. He's the scariest man in the business right now. People aren't getting out of the first round with all their teeth in their face with this guy. It's just not happening. Knocking out Curtis Blaydes. Oh, Sergey Pavlovich. Just these guys that are just, you know, they're building up. Pavlovich was supposed to be the guy that beat Jones. But he was counting sheep. End of that fight. I'll tell you that much. So Tom Aspinall's a scary dude. I wouldn't want to fight him either. But John Jones, you want to be considered the greatest of all time, you better sign that contract. This GSP's my goat. That's my goat. And I don't even want to hear. I don't want to hear about John Jones in the goat conversation until he steps in the ring with Tom Aspinall. That's my take. You disagree. I don't care. I'm entitled to my opinion. That's just the way it is. So yeah, I don't think that fight will happen, sadly, because, I mean, John Jones basically setting himself up for disaster. It's a shame, though, because that's the fight everyone wants to see. Dana claims it's happening over the summer. No, it's not. It's not ever going to. This is like when he was saying Connor's going to come back. Still waiting on that. Patiently. That's never going to happen. So, I you know, you can sometimes tell when things just aren't going to go. Jones is going to, you know, he got to fight a Stipe, they wheeled him out of the retirement home to fight him. You know, he arrived in a wheelchair and he left in a wheelchair. That was Stipe in that fight, old man. So anyway, we're going to go to a little ad break. When we get back, we're going to talk about fighting in the PWHL. Yay or nay, gentlemen? We'll find out when we get back after this very, very brief ad break.
Hi, I'm Sydney Sheedy.
And I'm Piper Curtis.
We are the producers of Discordia, a 10-part audio docuseries for CJLO 1690 AM, funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada Radio Meters Program.
Tune in on Monday, March 10th at 6 p.m. for the 7th episode of Discordia on the 2023 crew campaign and how they became Concordia's new teaching and research assistant labor union.
Do you want to have a discussion about movies?
You've already pretended to be a Costigan from South Boston.
Every weekend, Sergeant.
And have the iconic sounds of cinema? Well, tune in to At the Movies with Iconic Sounds every Tuesday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. only on CJLO 1690 a.m. with your host, Remy.
Don't laugh! This ain't reality TV!
Girl, it's easy to love me now. Just turn on the internet. I got a show on CJLO.
That's all I can do.
Welcome back to Candid Combat. I'm Connor Rooney, the host. We're going to wrap this show up just talking about fighting in the PWHL. The Women's Hockey League. There's fighting in the NHL. Should there be fighting in the PWHL, the Women's League? Let me ask you something. This is a combat show. What did you think I'm going to say? This should come as no surprise. We like fighting around here, you know? So obviously, I'd love to see it. I would love to see fighting in the PWHL. Let's make it happen. Why not? They're doing it already. It's happening. There's been some skirmishes in these games. There's been some skirmishes. These girls can throw hands. But what happens, you know, the refs get in the way, they break it up, da-da-da-da-da. I like fighting, and I like watching fighting. So you know what? Let's do it. And listen, obviously the big argument, oh, but they got the cages. They got the cages on. You can't fight if the girls are wearing the cages. Well, then what's going on right now? They look like they're fighting. You know, easy adjustment. Let them keep the gloves on. Have you ever heard of Cascon? Now, this is a game hockey players like to play. I've played it several times. Basically, after the game, you're in the dressing room. You got a little steam you want to work off with a teammate. Take off the body armor, elbow pads. Keep up the cage helmets. Keep the pants, keep the skates, everything. Keep the gloves and your box. And it works. No one gets cut, no one gets hurt. But, you know, you're throwing hands. It doesn't feel good to get hit. I love it. Cascon back in the day? Good stuff. That's good stuff right there. So why not? Here's my proposition. They don't drop the gloves. They keep the gloves on because they got the cages. But they're allowed to fight with the gloves on. Same as in the NHL. Same thing. It's still a five-minute major. You know, it gets broken up when it's a clear winner and whatnot. But yeah, listen, this way, no one's going to be bleeding or nothing. It's, you know, with the gloves on, but you let them express themselves in a violent context, right? And fighting's important for the game of hockey. There's a reason that it's still happening in the NHL. There's not really many other sports outside of combat sports that allow you to just throw your fist at another person's teeth in the middle of a game. And it's totally fine. Just sit in that box for 5 minutes. It's all good. It's all good. Because, listen, my number one reason, and I'm very open about this. I don't lie to people. Number one reason is because it's entertaining. Watching fighting is entertaining. That's my number one reason why I want to keep fighting in the NHL. That's why I love the Four Nations. Oh, that was spectacular. Bringing back. When's the last time you saw international teams drop the gloves? That was really spectacular. And the same reason I want to see it in the PWHL. It's fun to watch. Let's just be honest. Let's put our cards on the table. Let's not this, that. Number one reason, it's entertaining. But more than that, I believe it's important to the game. You need to be able to avenge your teammates. Say someone comes in, rams the goalie. Right now, as it stands at the PWHL, you look at them, you go, hey, don't do that. That was, I didn't like that. What is the incentive to not, you know, to be cheeky? Like, what if someone lines up the rookie? Bang. Smack. Big hit. What then? They're going to go to, you know, they might get ejected for the game. No. You discourage this stuff because it's like, if you do that, we're going to have our big girl come over and bounce your head off the ice like a basketball. That's how you discourage dirty hits and dirty plays, is the idea that, oh, if I do this, someone's going to come and fight me. That's why it's in the NHL. You can't run the goalie or someone's going to come after you. It's a good incentive. And they're already doing it in the PWHL. There's been quite a few skirmishes where, you know, regardless of the rules, they're going at it. It's just the way it is. And I don't see a problem with it. I think it's safer because you tell me what hit you'd rather take. Someone skating at you at 1,000 miles an hour, laying their shoulder into your cranium, or taking a few punches from a padded glove and you got a helmet on. That doesn't quantify to me. I'm not a physics major. I wish I had a physics major in the studio to help me out with the math here. I'm a journalism student, okay? Math, I'm not math in this. But what I will say is I'm pretty sure I'd rather take a hit from a glove when I'm wearing a helmet than have people charging at me at 100 miles an hour with batons laying their shoulder right into the middle of my skull. I don't like that. I don't want that to happen. So my take, and I'll be talking about this on the future of the show, I want to get an outsider's opinion. on this. Because maybe I'm crazy. I say this every show. Maybe I'm insane. I'm cooped up in a room by myself right now. I've been talking to myself for like 53 minutes. You go a little nuts. So maybe I'm crazy. I don't think so. I think I'm onto something here. And I think this is something a lot of people want to see. I think it's just got to be part of the game. Why not? So it looks like we got a bit of time left here to talk about KSI and Dylan Danis and just how ridiculous that is that's a thing. If you pay money for that, what are you doing? If you pay money to watch that fight, what are you doing? Go outside, like, live your life. What are you wasting your time for, KSI Dylan Danis? Dylan Danis is a BJJ black belt. He's not a boxer. What are we doing here? And in all his fights, he's terrible. He's not a good boxer. And why would he be? He's not a boxer. What don't people understand about this? I don't get it. Someone needs to explain this to me. The odds on this fight better be like minus 1 billion KSI and like plus 300,000 million, whatever, Dylan Danis. Because it's just, would you bet on me if I went to like a boxing ring and went, yeah, I've wrestled my whole life, but I'm going to fight this prolific, I mean, he's a YouTube boxer in all fairness, but he's still boxing. That's his thing. You know? Would you bet on me? If you bet on me, just go to the casino, throw $100 on the table and walk out, because that's what you're doing. That is a donation. You are donating to the casino. This YouTube box, I find it hilarious. You couldn't find another boxer? All these celebrities and everything, you couldn't find another boxer? You got to bring in I mean, listen, he trash talks well. That's why he's probably getting these fights. He's a good trash talker, which I always love. I love a fighter with charisma. But he's a grappler. I feel like I'm losing my mind when I see these fight announcements. And I get it's fake boxing, it's YouTube, everything. KSI is going to knock. If KSI doesn't knock this fool out, I don't, like, you know, that's more embarrassing. This is more of a get knocked out or not. Because if you can't knock this guy out, that's the embarrassing part. Dylan Danis doesn't need to win this. He's a grappler. It's more about can KSI show that he can beat a bum who doesn't box in a match. But don't get me wrong. Dylan Danis would publicly execute KSI in a real fight. His BJJ is much better than KSI's boxing. That's what I understand. Why not just fight? Two men, get together, throw down. A real fight. Not this boxing where one guy's a boxer, one guy's not a boxer. KSI wins. It's going to be a boring fight. I don't get it. But hey, man, you guys are buying it because it's selling tickets. Appreciate it if you guys would stop doing that, but here we are. Anyways, let's recap the episode here. We got about 2 minutes left, so let's do a quick recap. U Sport Nationals in Brock University. Alexia Sherlin took home the silver medal after a very strong performance. Her hip sag of death rained from above all day long. Sophia Bouchard, fourth place. Liam Menard, seventh place. And myself, Connor Rooney, fifth place. UFC 313, here's your parlay. Alex Pereira is going to knock Ankalaev's teeth out his ears. So get ready for that. Justin Gaethje, Rafael Fitzayev. Put the house on Gaethje. I don't know how he's gotten the underdog odds. Put the house. This is money I'm making you guys here. Let's get rich. Potential matchups in the works. Shamaev versus DDP. Topuria versus Makhachev. John Jones versus Aspinall. The winner likely to take on Alex Pereira later this year. Fighting in the PWHL, yeah. I'm an advocate for that. Let's do it. Let's make it happen. So that's that. And finally, KSI versus Dylan Danis. It's just, why am I even talking about this? I'm giving this airtime. I'm part of the problem, you know? I'm part of the problem here. That's my bad. I might never talk about this again. Because it's just so frustrating. Anyways, this has been Candid Combat with Connor Rooney. Thank you to all those who tuned in, and we'll see you next week, Thursday. It's at 2 p.m. next Thursday. We'll see you then.
Hello.